This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I am so happy to be back here today. I took a little time off, and I'm just so happy to be back with you. People ask me, what is the Sue Freeze Show about? Is it about bugs? And I say, no, it's not about bugs. It exists to empower you. Are you in need of passion, purpose, or connection? This show is about getting to know you. What are you passionate about? What is your purpose on this earth? What were you created for? When do you feel connected to another person? Who are you? Have you ever asked yourself that? Who am I? Who are you? It is not what you do for a living that determines who you are. Our actions say who we are. When you are vulnerable, authentic, transparent, and teachable, going through challenging experiences, we can all grow and learn from one another. This journey is a process, and it is a journey, and it is a process, where you will be able to receive and discover who you are. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? Did you know that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care? I find that to be so true in my everyday life. We can know a lot, and we think we know so much, but as time goes on, I realize I don't know how much I don't know, and what I don't know can hurt me. And we are here today because I want to make a difference. How about you? Do you want to make a difference in this world? Even if you touch one life, isn't that worth your life? It's worth mine. I want to change lives, and I want the Lord to use me mightily to help people, maybe you, to feel that there is someone there that cares, and that is God. God does care. So today, I have special guests with me, Gary Hoffman, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about him so you can understand where we're going with today's show. Gary Hoffman is a marital crisis survivor who has been working with men for over 16 years in challenging marriages and other areas of their life. He's the founder and leader of the Men on the Edge, and he has just recently published a book called Don't Give Up. This book helps educate men how to start dealing with their overwhelming issues in their life and marriage head on. Many times when men are asked, how are things going? Men will answer, fine or great. And we all know that the definition or the acronym for fine is feelings inside, not expressed. Isn't that good? Often men are faking some areas of their life. Their life might feel out of control and like they're dying on the inside. Gary Hoffman has learned men can put on a good front, hiding in busyness or maybe hiding in their list of things to tackle. I don't think that's just for men. I think women do that too. Often things begin to suffer, maybe their relationship with their wife or husband or their kids. A man's marriage can be close to being on the rocks and maybe not even be on a man's radar screen of life. I've heard that where men will say, I'll say, oh, what happened? I don't know. I didn't know there was a problem. Gary Hoffman is here to share about the proverbial pink elephant in the living room, which no one wants to talk about. Gary, I am so happy you're with us today.
Thanks for having me, Sue.
And this is your first time on radio?
Yep.
So you have grace already. Just know that. Take a deep breath, and we'll get through this together.
Okay.
And we talked about, what's our motivation being on the radio today? And our motivation is we know that there's a lot of suffering marriages out there. We know that. You know that. I know that. And a lot of the times I know it's true that not only men, but women too, they just want to believe that it's really going to go away. But it doesn't go away, does it?
No.
It just gets worse.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's very important. They start dealing with it, and a lot of times they're totally ignoring a lot of the issues.
Yes. Time. Yes, and we were talking a little bit earlier, and we do have some questions that I want to go through, but you were saying that, you know, how you start this whole process with couples or a man is you ask them to just write down what the issues are, and you get this blank stare.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of times in a man's life when he's, and usually I deal with guys that are knee-deep already, and but usually they're, in my experience of 16-plus years, there's 6 to 8 major problems in any man's given, and they're all different problems, but a lot of times they truly don't know what those problems are, and there's a total blank look. So I encourage them to start with a blank piece of paper, start writing down. If you want to solve, if you're in a business meeting, you want to solve, you know, problems that are, you know, at the office or whatever, well, you got to start with reality. And a lot of times the man doesn't even know what the reality is. So I encourage him just to start bringing it and getting it on his radar screen. But a lot of times they're overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed with financial pressures in today's society. They're overwhelmed. They might be losing their job. Maybe their wife's nagging on him more than she should be. I mean, it just goes on, and he feels overwhelmed. He doesn't even know where to start, where to begin.
One bite at a time. That big elephant in the living room, one bite at a time.
Yeah.
You know, in business, it's true that, you know, when you have problems, you know there's problems because there's things that are happening that are not the way you want them to happen. So you know there's a problem, but you don't always know what it is.
Right.
But you have to identify that there is a problem and then try to figure out what the problem is to come with solutions.
Right.
And I always tell my employees, if you've got a problem, have a solution. It might not be the right one, but bring something to the table.
Yeah, and even if it's the reality is not good, and you don't, maybe your wife says you're purple. You don't, and you don't agree with, you know, her, at least that's her reality. So that's where you want a man should start. You don't have to agree with her. Just that's the starting place because that's her reality. Okay.
Right.
And even if the information, the problems are real negative, right. Start there.
Right.
Right.
If you're listening in and it's the wife listening and wishing that her husband was listening, I just want to let you know, or vice versa, we're equal here, you can go on the SueFreeze.com. It's Sue Freeze, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and it's podcasted. So if you don't have somebody that you want to hear this message, not hear it right now, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Just go on to SueFreeze.com, and it'll be podcasted. We are syndicated. We go to Santa Maria. We go to San Diego now. It's amazing how God's working. We just want you to know that you know, there is help on the way. Also, if you want to call in and you have a specific question, make it brief, get to the point. The phone number is 888-995-5552, and I do have my producer, Melissa, who will take your call, and she'll screen your call to see if it's a good question to ask for others to hear, because we want to help people out there. That's our whole goal. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. So with that being said, Gary, you're not an author by trade, so why did you write this book, Don't Give Up?
Well, I just saw such an overwhelming need, and part of this, I felt, and this going back before Pastor Rick had his book, the famous book out there, Purpose Driven Life, well, I was praying and challenging God that I know my purpose. And I remember him saying that most people, whether it be 8 out of 10 people, don't know why they're here on earth. Well, I kept praying over and over and over that I know what my purpose was in life. And I feel this is part of my purpose. The book, the nonprofit, menontheedge.org, is to help men start to bring stuff to their radar screen and start dealing with some of their issues and stuff like that. But
your ministry is Men on the Edge. What do you mean by Men on the Edge?
Well, we actually probably went back and forth about different titles and stuff, but actually most of the growth you will, whether it's men or women, is done on the edge. Most of the growth is not where things are comfortable. Most of the growth is in the midst of cancer. Most of the growth is in the midst of either you're faced with possibly divorce, or she's leaving, or you think the answer is for you to leave. On the edge where things look so hopeless, there is hope. There is a better way. We have a higher percentage of guys wanting to hurt and harm themselves that I'm dealing with, and that's not the answer. give up. So this is hope in knowing that there's a pathway, there's solutions with God in your life. There is a better pathway, and it's not to give up, not to throw the towel in.
With the men you have worked with in your group, what would you say are some of the pressing issues men face today?
Oh, there's some of the basic ones. I would say sexual addiction is with the internet and all that. Sexual addiction is a big one. Poor communication, inappropriate anger, major financial issues, the way the market is, pride. I mean, pride goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Poor listening skills. I mean, controlling. I mean, us as men, we're control freaks. We want to control things at work, at home, and a very controlling behavior at home is horrible. I have a good counselor friend of mine that says selfishness is the number one reason for divorce. So, I mean, you can just go on and on. Blended family issues, kids. I mean, there's so many things, but there's some of the basics right there.
Those are all really good and really bad. You asked me before the show, you know, do you like pain? And you were surprised with my response that I said yes. Because without, you know, I say no pain, no gain. Okay? And so for me, there's good pain and bad pain, right? We don't want to have the bad pain. But good pain means, you know, you have to look at a problem and say, okay, what part of this am I playing? Look at the person in the mirror first, right?
Right.
And then from there, you go forward to say, okay, this is the part I'm playing. I'm going to work on that. Get the log out of your own eye. In
right.
the Bible, it talks about the log out of your own eye, right? So after that, then you've got the speck in the other person's eye. But if you focus on yours, usually that speck gets smaller and smaller in the
right.
other person's eyes because you're dealing with your own issues.
Right.
And our calling, what we're supposed to do is do the best we can, strive to be the best we can be for God.
Right.
So you're in agreement with that.
Right.
And the selfishness, I think, is really, truly one of the biggest ones. And I got asked recently, you know, what is your biggest pet peeve? What is your thing that bothers you the most? And the thing that I came up with was inconsiderateness. Just something, I don't know, is that a word, inconsiderateness? I just don't like it when people are inconsiderate.
Right.
And that's selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody puts themselves before you. Now, in cases, I guess that would be okay. But in a marriage, I think we're called to put the other person before ourselves.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
And quite often we don't.
No.
We're so, it's all about me, me, me. Well, there's, guess what? There's more going on in each and every day of our lives. You know, we need each other. We're designed for relationships, and it's more than just about yourself. There needs to be a give and take, and quite often, you know, we're so concerned just about our side of the fence.
Right.
You know, but...
Would you say it's fair then? I mean, I think you've already said this, that men, they're not really clear or even aware of what the issues are, what the problems in the marriage are. They just think that the woman is harping or whatever, and... I've had, you know, there's been gentlemen in my life where I've talked to them and I'll say, well, what seems to be the issues? You know, what's going on? And he goes, oh, you know, da, 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 you know, and I'm like, well, what is the da, da, da? What are they saying? Are you listening to what they're saying or just that blah, 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 blah? Because they are saying something. Are you listening to what they're saying?
Right. From a man's perspective, he says, well, I'm not getting sex. Okay. And this honestly happened in my life. I'm walking with my wife. We're going to church and she overhears the guy saying it. She gives me the elbow on the way to the car, says, well, you know, I don't know who that guy was, but it's not the sex is a symptom of other problems in the marriage, and he needs to figure out what those are. But quite often each of us have 6 to 8 major problems going on. And even in a healthy marriage, I have a good friend of mine. He's been married for 50 years. And he says, he just got a hold of the book, Don't Give Up. And he says, I love it. I'm learning things from it. Men and women are learning things from the book, Don't Give Up. But it's, we have stuff to learn. And what is that? If you're living and breathing, what is it that you need to learn? If you have a part to the relationship, you cannot say it's all her fault, or she can't say, you know, it's not fair to say it's all his fault.
That's the log and the speck,
right?
Let's focus on our part.
Right.
But like you said, the man is not in touch with what his part is. And in some cases, even in your bio, it said that men don't even realize there's a problem.
Right.
They don't even have this marriage issue on the radar.
Right.
They might think, I'm not getting any.
Right.
Right? I'm not getting any. Okay, well, that's a symptom.
Right.
So why aren't you? Why aren't you?
It just, I feel this sense that they're ignoring, denying, just they're overwhelmed by it or whatever, these major problems, and they don't quite know where. It's not even on, quite often, it's not even on their radar screen. Okay?
So
part
someone...
of this is the awareness that they start thinking about it, getting it on their radar screen.
So how do you help people in your ministry of Man on the Edge? How do you help these men in your Bible groups that are suffering or are, you know, somebody's moved out of the house or they're on the verge or whatever? What is the process? I mean, what is it that you do with these men besides love them? Because I think love is important. You've got to come alongside them. But what do you do? I mean, how do you start? I know you said get a notepad. And
right.
You said, start writing down. But if they don't even know what to write, then what?
I'll get a blank piece of paper right in front of him. I says, where do you start? I get here. Just start talking. He says, well, I don't know what the problems are. I said, that's okay. I'm a good listener. Okay? Most of the time, from what the first seminar I went to many moons ago, somewhere in the range of 70% of the time, you're not listening to me, Sue, and I'm not listening to you. Right? That's that high of a presence. So we're not hearing what she's saying. And my ex-wife, I said, well, just tell me, as things are getting worse and worse, and I'm praying to know what my purpose is, and the more I was trying to find out what the problems are in my marriage, and I said, just tell me one more time. She says, I've told you a million times. We're not hearing what she's saying in the female language, and men are talking with their remote control. We're talking about sports and, you know, mashed potatoes and gravy or whatever. We're talking a whole different language. So I usually get, if the guy starts talking, usually he's going to point the finger at her and he's talking about blah, blah, her and her and her. And I let him go on for a while. Okay. I give him a few minutes and I said, okay, what about you? What would your wife say the issues are? What would they truly... And as he starts to unfold and we peel the onion, then I'll just start writing down. And usually it's major things are like lack of respect, okay? And the wife wants to be loved. She wants to be cherished. She wants to be honored. Well, to men, the number one thing is respect, okay? And then you'll go on from that, and then you'll find out, he's on the internet, and he's going to chat rooms, or he's going to whatever, or there's an affair that's going on or has, you know, from the past, and there's pain there, or the wife's been sexually abused when she was a child or as a teenager or whatever. And so then it starts to unfold, okay? And then it gets on a piece of paper, and then you can move forward from there, and then the light bulb starts to go on a little bit. And it isn't something that you want to work on them all at once, but you start identifying, and maybe you start studying, you know, some of the issues, or you go to a men's group for accountability, or you go to a support group or whatever that we're involved, you know, with at Saddleback Church.
You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. If you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear from you. If you have an issue, if you want to talk, if you want to add a point that you feel God's leading you to bring to the table, please call us, 888-995-5552. This is God's show. It's your show, and we're here for you. So if you want to join in, we'd love to have you. And this is such a big topic, because there's a lot of married couples out there, or people that are thinking about getting married, and a lot of people that are fearful of getting married. And what would you say to somebody that hasn't gotten married yet, that is looking to get married, Gary, with all the issues that are in place? How can you prepare those people that aren't married yet to prepare them for marriage? I mean, what would you say to a man that is going to enter into marrying the woman of his dreams, where he loves her more than himself, puts her before him? What would you say? I'm putting you on the spot, Gary, aren't I? But what would you say? Because you said that a woman wants to feel loved, so I would go with that. What does that mean? A woman wants to feel loved, and the man wants to feel respect. So we could back up a little bit and say, what does that mean? What does that look like?
Well, first off, if he's going to jump into marriage, I would...
Not jump.
Okay.
A lot of thought.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
But still thinking about it, going to God.
Take it very seriously, because this idea of where we're, you know, you get married for a few years and then you you know, and you think, oh, I just need to replace this person with, you know, and get divorced and get on. Well, guess what? You'll wake up and you realize there's a, if you don't learn anything, you're still there. So I would encourage the man that's potentially thinking about getting married to really think about it and study what marriage is all about and learn to honor, figure out what honor is honoring her. There's a good counselor friend of mine, and he talks about, you know, serve her. Well, what did Jesus Christ do? He is our master teacher, but he taught us how to serve others. He taught us what a gentle spirit was. You can literally be right in a marriage and lose the war.
Exactly.
Okay? And it isn't about being right. It's about figuring out ways to honor and serve your mate both ways. My wife.
In Ephesians 5, it talks about submit one to another.
Right.
You know, and I've heard men say, no, the wife is to submit to me. And I'm like, no, read on. Read further in Scripture, because that's not what it says all the way. You got to read the whole thing. Don't take what you want and leave the rest.
I was going to say that my wife is a wonderful wife, right? But she is an incredible helpmate.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And see, a lot of husbands don't have that. Yeah. Well, your wife is helping you do whatever she can. When I get home, I try to help her, whatever. If the, you know,
dishes
need to be cleaned or whatever.
Right.
You know.
How awesome kind of. Is that? But that didn't happen overnight, did it?
She's listening. She might not agree with all that all the time.
Maybe she should call in.
Yeah, she might. I'd be very careful.
So when I was thinking about that person that's thinking about getting married, you went right to somebody that it's a second marriage. But I was thinking about somebody that hasn't gotten married yet. I have a certain couple in mind that are close to me, and they're considering marriage. And, you know, they want to do everything right, and they're very godly, and they want to listen to God and do the right thing. And I just think that, you know, what could we say to them to prepare them? You already said it. You know, they already put God first. It's true in everything they walk, everything they say, everything they do. They put God first. So that's a beautiful testimony in itself.
I have a good counselor friend of mine. He says, Gary, he says, you're either going to learn pre-marriage or post-marriage.
But you're going to learn.
You're going to learn one way or the other. Gary, you're either going to go kicking and screaming.
Uh-oh. You need water?
or you're going to learn it the hard way.
Yeah.
You know. But quite often in premarital counseling that you go to, we put our best foot forward. Well, guess what? We're still in that denial. We're not quite being realistic, and we're sugarcoating a lot of the issues.
So with mudslinging and arguing going on in the home, what should the focus be on in marriage? Serving. You said serving.
Right. In the book, we talk about a... And this is key. Almost every week in our support groups, Men on the Edge support groups, we talk about an unhealthy pattern where the focus is in a healthy pattern. The unhealthiness is we're demanding, we're expecting, there's a lot of controlling going on. The focus is on her, what she's not doing. And see, God, in an unhealthy pattern, if those for the listeners, if you just were to draw a triangle, God is at the top. Man is at one side, and the wife is at the other side. What the demanding and the controlling side is where she slings mud at us, and we sling mud back to her. A healthy pattern is where God is in the picture, and we're focusing on God. You spend a few minutes with your daily quiet time. You're spending a few maybe there's a men's accountability group. You're going to church services. You're spending some time with God first in life, and then you can interact with the rest of the world. But quite often, you know, the men that I deal with is, one, they're not spending a few minutes with God, you know, and I'm talking like, you know, and you have some where you can get it on the internet, you can get it on driving to work, you know.
I've got it on my phone now. There's apps you can put on your phone now. So whenever you're sitting, doing nothing, waiting, you can go on and learn Scripture on your BlackBerry or your smartphone.
So there's some pluses to the technology. Yes. You just got to figure out what works for you. How can you tap in to God? And maybe it means you get up and see quiet time it means exactly that, quiet. It means you turn off the radio.
All noise.
You turn off the television. You turn off the cell phone. And I say, do this before your day calls. If you take one email, you take one, you know, try to do it one text or whatever, your goose is cooked. It's like your day is already starting to roll, and what you need to do is spend a couple minutes with God, and then you can interact with the rest of the world.
Getting back with this diagram, where is your focus? Mm-hmm. I like the word focus. Focus is good. Healthy relationships, it says, God, you know, is in the top of the triangle, like Matthew 22 through 27 says, love thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, everything. Put him first. And then love thy neighbor. Well, who's your neighbor? Your neighbor is your spouse and anyone else on this earth, right? So that is your neighbor.
Right.
So God comes first. So we always go to God first whenever there's an issue. But I get back to this thing where you say, God, you know, the men don't even know that there's an issue.
Well,
they just know they're not getting any.
It isn't all men either.
I understand that, and I said that up front. I said that because I really agree with that, because I know I'm a woman, and I got caught up in busy too, you know, because I'm a businesswoman. So it's not just the man. You know, we're kind of putting people in boxes here, which –
Right.
Yeah. So – but it does say that right here on focus is on God, faith and trust on both sides. But then you have right here, you have sharing – loving and giving.
Right.
Sharing, loving, and giving. Well, you can't share unless you talk.
Right.
And you can't love unless you talk, really. But there's other things. The five love languages, you know that book.
Right.
I love that book.
Oh,
I think that's
wonderful.
In fact, I just gave that to the married couple yesterday because I just love that book, not only for married couples, but also for children.
Right.
Understanding that everybody loves differently and we have to give it the way they need it, not the way we want to give it or get it. Right. And that's really good, isn't it?
That book is wonderful, the five love languages.
Yeah, I'll tell you what they are if you don't know about them. What the five love languages are is affirmation, affection,
touch,
physical touch, gifts, acts of service. I didn't understand what acts of service was. So that would be like if you got your wife or your husband gas or made their coffee or their breakfast. That would be acts of service. And quality time is the last one. And it's funny because I read all of those and I'm like, well, I need them all. I need them all. But I think we all need them all. But there is one that'll stand out. That's one that you do more. You give more of that. And that's usually what you want to receive, and you're going to feel more loved. For instance, example, my dad. My dad was not a very loving, affectionate, never said I love you, God rest his soul, but he never did any of those things. But he gave me a surfboard, a unicycle, a bicycle for Christmas. He gave me those gifts. And it was like the least favorite thing of all, but that was his way of showing love.
Right.
But it wasn't mine. I never felt loved by him because he never said, I love you. He never put his arms around me and said those wonderful things.
My parents are
Are
out of the depression era, and so they're doing the best they can, and they're working for things, but see, our wives want to be loved.
I'm sorry, we have to cut off. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to 99.5 KKLA flagship station.
They're called stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. Microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freed Show.
So we're back again, and we're back with Gary Hoffman. He wrote a book titled Don't Give Up, and he's the founder and leader of Men on the Edge. And we've been talking about marriage, the issues of marriage, the issues of men and the struggles that they face, and sometimes they don't even know that there's a problem until it's a huge problem. And so he's here to try to help and to give support and hope when maybe you're feeling hopeless. And wives, if you're listening and you were wishing your husbands were listening or vice versa, you can listen to a podcast by going to SueFree, spelt like fries, one word, .com. And our phone number now, if you want to call in, or if you want to call in, 888-995-5552. So, Gary, continuing on, we've gone through quite a few things here on what you think could be helpful. We talked about the love language, the five love languages, and how people usually give the love language that they would want to receive. We talked about Scripture, Matthew, putting God first, and then loving thy neighbor as thyself after you go to God first. So any issue that comes up, just a recap, we want to go to God first, have that quiet time, turn off all noise, have that time. A book that I just read, what I got out of one entire chapter, reading the entire chapter, what I got out of it is that thankfulness covers so many things, that when we wake up in the morning and we go to bed at night, if we think about those things that we're thankful for, that it changes our internal attitude towards life. And when you go to bed with those types of thoughts, you tend to wake up in a much better frame of mind to tackle or slay the dragons of that day. So, Gary, you know, we have like 20 minutes left. So there might be a hurting man out there, a hurting woman out there, and we want to give them some type of support. At the end of the show, we'll give them where they can go to find more about what you do and how you they can get support long term. But for right now, where do you feel God's leading you in the rest of the show?
Well, no matter what's going on in the marriage, even if she's left or, you know, things just aren't good, just some encouraging words is learn what needs to be learned. Just try to hear what she might be saying. And some of that is maybe you need to face some of your fears. And you know, before this morning, I was thinking about, you know, in a lot of respects, we're all scared. Okay, we have a lot of insecurities. There's things that we need, each and every one of us, we need to face, we need to do. But I'm encouraging to face those fears, you know, and learn what needs to be learned in those areas. You know, grab different books. Grab the books that she talked about, The Five Love Language, my book, Don't Give Up, or... You know, join a men's, you know, either support group or join a men's group in your local Christian church or whatever it is. There's things that you don't have to do this stuff alone. In my experience, the healing begins in community where you're transparent. If you're not transparent with one or more other male, you will go deeper with other men than you can with women sitting in the same room. There's so much that needs to be learned, but a lot of men, I have a good pastor friend of mine, he says the margin is between 1 and 0. Men aren't talking. We're moving faster and faster and faster in life with the technology. There's more and more pressures. Okay, so here's a hit list. Here's 8 things to help get you out of trouble. Okay, 1, you need to have alone time with God. Okay, 10 or 15 minutes. So it doesn't matter how you get it, what you got to do, but get it. 2, pray for wisdom and clarity in a situation. You cannot pray enough. Prayer is your number one weapon when you're knee deep in whatever's going on in your life. 3, let go of control. Try to be proactive with God and whatever is going on. 4, try to stay under what I call the God umbrella. Okay, and that's you're underneath. You're spending time in the Bible. You're trying to do it God's way. You're trying to figure out what needs to be learned, how you need to grow. 5, get in a men's accountability group, a men's study group at your local church, whatever that is, at your local group, that there is some accountability where somebody, maybe you look, I had a guy that come to me and he says, sometimes, Gary, you need to have somebody tell you have lettuce hanging from your teeth. That you're real, and you're hearing the good and the bad and the ugly from this guy. And he's not going to leave. 6, there's humility to God and to others. You can't grow, you can't change unless you have humility. Okay? And 7, stop, wait, and expect God. Start looking for God in the situation. A lot of times there's such a turmoil of emotional stuff going on in your life. And in Matthew 7:7, he talks about ask, seek, and knock. And guess what? you knock and he, you know, God will be there. But quite often we want to zap it in the microwave. We want, okay, we want it done and we want it done in our timing. Well, that's not realistic. It probably took you 10 years or whatever, who knows, to get in this mess, and you're not going to get out overnight. Number eight is trust in God. There's over 7,000 promises in the Bible, okay, about the promises that God has set aside for us. And just keep looking and seeing where God is in the situation. So there's a hit list of eight different things.
Would it be okay to put that eight list on my website so
sure.
people could download it and
sure.
have it? And you could put your information at the bottom of that when you send it to my assistant.
Sure.
And then we can have it on there and they'll have a way to get a hold of you also.
Okay.
This is really good stuff. One thing I will caution, though, and I know you would say this, is that you need to choose who you're going to get support and encouragement and wisdom from. And it says seek godly counsel, not just counsel.
Right.
Right? And it also says, you know, we need to choose those people. You can always find friends who are going to tell you what you want to hear. But you want to find those friends who are going to tell you what you need to hear.
Right.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's really important that we choose the people correctly that are going to keep us accountable. And the other thing that I caught that I wrote down was you talked about humility.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't be prideful and have humility at the same time. You have to, you know, I think pride is one of the biggest things. What do you think? Do you find that with men especially? I'm not going to say women aren't prideful because they are. But I think that men have this issue that it's really, really tough for them.
Oh, yeah.
To even say they're sorry a lot of the times.
Yeah.
You know? And in my relationship, I know that I've had times where you know, there's been people that say, well, you just want me to agree with you. You don't, you know, it's, maybe I don't agree with you. It's not about agreeing. But I know from John Townsend, you know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
I just adore this guy because he's just so good. I mean, every time he talks, I'm like, wow, he's mentoring me. And I love that he's taking that time to do that with me. But something he said is 50% of resolve comes with understanding. Mm-hmm. But you can't understand if you're not truly listening. So like you said, for these men to listen to their wives, listen to what they're saying, not just the tone, because sometimes a tone will turn you off and you can't hear past the tone. So, but if you listen to your wife, listen to what she's saying, she's pretty wise. It says that in the Bible, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it say the woman is wise? So listen to her. It doesn't mean you have to agree
right.
with her, but listen to her. And I think that you would find some things there that we could, you know, people could work on,
right?
Right? So anything else that you want to say? We've got some good time here.
Here's a couple questions for the guys out there. Here's a couple key questions. Do you like who you see in the mirror? And quite often where I started is I didn't like what I saw. I didn't like how I was reacting. I had somebody come up and tell me. He says, it was an office manager that I had several years ago. She says, I just don't want you to be a dirty or an old man, a grumpy old man is what she said. So do you like who you see in the mirror? And where a lot of us start is we don't like what we see. We don't, you know, you got to have this inside job we talk about to change. It starts with us. It doesn't start with her. It starts with you. And number two, here's another question. What are the real problems? Okay. What are they? Start working on what are the real issues? Okay. And usually most of the men are hiding one or more major problems in their life. They're hiding. And maybe that's the infidelity. Okay. Here's another one. Who do you really talk to? Who do you share your soul with? And as we shared, we've said a few times, most of the men aren't talking. Here's another one. What can you do to change tomorrow? You don't start with the major things about changing tomorrow. You start with the little things. What can you do to change tomorrow? Maybe you're nice to the lady that takes your check at the teller or you're at the grocery store. You start with the little things. And you're proactive with God. We need to change. You need God's help in your life. You can't do this stuff by yourself. And here's another one. What is your part of the problem? What do you need to own? as we said, you're living and breathing. What do you need to own on your part of the relationship?
That's really good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm liking it. I'm liking it. I'm a woman, and you're talking to the men, but I'm taking it because you have to look at the man or the woman in the mirror. Michael Jackson, that song. You know, look at the man or the woman in the mirror. And I so believe that. And it goes back to that scripture of the log and the speck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to look at that. And the other thing is judgment also. You know, a lot of times people will feel judged. And it says judge, and in the measure you judge, you too shall be judged.
Right.
You know, so I don't judge anybody because nobody's walked in my shoes, but I haven't walked in yours either. So it's not for me to judge you. You know, you have to live your life, and you have to answer to God.
Right.
Right? So if you had to answer to God today, I ask myself this, if I had to answer to God today, what would I say? What would I say to him? And do I feel good in my own skin?
Right.
Do I feel good? And we have choices. I told my children this. They're older now. But I've told them that they've got choices. They make choices. We all do. Every minute of every day, you are having to make a choice. And you suffer the consequence or reap the rewards. Thank you, Mom, for telling me that many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true, isn't it?
Right.
And so what are we going to do with this life that we have? And I know at a very young age, as you have gone through and said, you know, what's my purpose on this earth? I did that when I was 10 years old. God, show me. What's my purpose? I know it's more than watching my sister and having to do the laundry for my mom and, you know, all this. It was so much more than that. I didn't know what it was, you know. And everything that happens to us up till now, we have a choice whether we're a victim or we've conquered it. You know, we're victorious. And we can look at things and say, yeah, woe is me, or we can say, let's go do something for God today. And the best thing to do is to get out of yourself, get over it, and move on and move into something more positive.
Right.
So if you're a man, okay, and you're suffering, or you don't even know if you are, but you know that your marriage isn't what you would want, you know, for those men out there that have a marriage that isn't exactly what you want. How many times do you go into a restaurant and you see people there and the people that are all lovey-dovey, you know they're not married? Isn't that sad? I mean, I think that's so sad. And the people that aren't married are so lovey-dovey. They're holding hands and, you know, they're touching each other. And I'm thinking, that is such a sad state of affairs.
Right.
Because the people that are married, wouldn't it be that they would love each other more every day? And you'd think they'd want to be more physical and more looking at each other and their eyes and sparkle and, you know, all those things. Mm-hmm. But it's not that way most of the time.
Yeah.
But when you see a couple that's like that, isn't it an amazing thing? What a testimony. It's an amazing testimony.
Yeah, when you have God in your life, I think before the show we talked about, if there's prayer and God is the center of your life, it's something like 1 in 1,056, the divorce rate. If God is at the center of the marriage, a lot of this other stuff goes away. Focus is on God. I expressed earlier that my wife is a wonderful wife. Well, when I've been bad, you know what she says? She says, don't do that. She says, I'm going to do two things. She says, one, so I'm going to talk to God. I go, don't do that. Don't do that. And then two, she says, I'm going to talk to the guys. Don't do that. But it's like when God is at the center of the marriage, okay, it's so much easier. And this is God's recipe. This is God's plan. But a lot of times we're trying to do it on our own power in our own way, and it just doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It wears us out. We're tired. We're exhausted, and we're trying to control our life. If you really think about what control is and what sin is, it's, you know.
Taking control.
Yeah. We're trying.
Being in charge. Taking in control.
We're trying to control our world. But in reality, we're not doing a very good job of it.
You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5. And we're with Gary Hoffman, who's written a book on Don't Give Up. You have a great voice, Gary. They just want that mic right on your mouth so they can hear you better.
Okay.
Okay. You're doing a great job, by the way. Everybody can applaud you. It's the first time on the radio. You're doing a great job. And you just have such a wonderful message. So we don't have much time left. So what I want to ask you really fast is what caused you, what happened personally for you? Can you go into that or you don't want to?
Oh, sure.
Okay. We have like 5 minutes.
How much smut you want?
5 minutes. Get real.
Oh, boy.
Be vulnerable.
Better get some tissue here.
Okay. Come on, I'm ready. I want to hear it because I think it's touching and I think it could help some man out there or some woman out there for that matter. Here's some tissues for you. Go for it.
I was just joking.
Okay. Go ahead. Tell us your story. Yeah, we're on.
Oh, okay. Well, how I started was, like I said, I kept praying over and over to know what my purpose was in life. And the more I prayed, as my life was getting worse and worse. And this was several years ago, like I said, at the start of the show. And Pastor Rick, this was before he had his book out, and he talked about, well, most people don't know why they're here on earth. Well, the harder I was trying to figure out what the problems were in marriage, well, the more my wife wanted to leave. But I just kept praying, and I kept doing it God's way. Well, sometimes things get worse before they get better. And what I did is I challenged God to change my life. I don't think I would do it today, but I assured God I could handle the pain. And he turned just about everything upside. I've been a business owner for years. He turned everything upside down in my life, and basically he was cleansing and purifying me. My ministry took off. It was like I was on a 100-foot wave of ministry, and God just started using me. He started where he would put guys in front of me at the grocery store, at church, or at in my life, and just started taking me, and I would just share real life stories with them, and he said, well, here, have you tried this? You know, you need to do this, and you need to do that. You need to, you know, just hear her, just listen to her, spend time going to coffee with guys or whatever. So anyway, so my life got worse, and then after, some time went on, and I don't want to discourage any of the guys, but things sometimes get worse before they get better, and the more I focused on God, gradually things got clearer, and gradually you started to see pockets in your life that got better, and this and that. Usually, a man, in my experience, they don't get in this situation overnight, and you're not going to get out overnight. And so I just began. Prayer, as I mentioned, is your number one tool, and you cannot pray enough in the midst of going through crises. And so it's just a, you know, maybe team prayer. We prayed before the session, and we're, you know, in our groups, we do it all the time, and we pray at the end, because we can't do this stuff on our own power. We need God. We need God in the center of our lives in order to change. And so gradually I worked my way out of, and now I'm remarried and I have a wonderful wife and family, and but it's just, you know, it's a process getting there.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That was good to hear. So it says that the mission of Men on the Edge is to educate men with practical godly principles, encourage them to be men of God, and teach them how to lead their family per God's original design. So you guys meet like on a weekly basis or a monthly basis?
We meet once a week, and usually we have a whole gamut of guys. I think the first group that I was in, and it's just, we have a lot of business owners that are out there. The first group that I was in, I had a dentist, I had a vice president from Marriott, I had a vice president of a well-known computer company, I had a fireman, I had one guy that was already retired, he was well off, I had one guy I think that was unemployed, and he was developing some kind of product. I looked around the room, and then there was me. And I go, there's a lot of bright guys here. And so, and usually that's what every group there is. There's a lot of bright guys, but we can be, to get brighter. I mean, there in the Bible, it's there. Each of us are we can pray for wisdom, but we need, you know, a deeper sense is discernment. And we need God in our life to get that. And so God just took me, you know, and we just share some of those lessons, real life lessons, and Rich that's here with us, and, you know, some of the other guys. There's a whole team of us. It isn't just me, but the help is, we want to help get it out to other churches, Men on the Edge, that they want to open up, you know, a support group or get the book out, you know, Don't Give Up, to help guys that are struggling. And there's even, we're talking about getting a ladies' version of the literature and stuff.
So is there, you know, when you talk to these men, is there one common thread? Is there one that's more, that's bigger issue than any other issue? Or is it, you know, because I've just known in my life, even with parenting, you know, I thought I was like isolated and I felt like I was alone and nobody else had potty training issues like mine, you know, and then I got into a group with a lot of other mothers with children. And found out that my issue wasn't my issue, that other people struggled with the same things as I did. And somehow that helped me to feel better. I don't know. My issue didn't go away. But it helped me to know that I wasn't alone in this journey, and that the support structure of having other people side by side with me just made it go along a little easier to have that comfort and that encouragement. Well, so is there one thing? I mean, is there one thing that stands out?
I think we're a little more complicated than just one thing. But if we just learn how, you know, a lot of guys, I said, well, just listen to her. Just try to hear what she's saying, you know, and maybe let go of trying to control.
Or fix it.
Or fix it. Since Sandbox days, we wanted to fix things. Well guess what? We can't fix it. We're, you know, Sue, I'm going to have somebody tell me this. I know. Two things I know. One, I'm not God, and what? Two, you're not.
I'm not God either.
Right.
Yeah.
And see, quite often, we run from the mode that we think we're God, and we're going to, that we can fix everything, we can solve everything. But in reality, that's not so. She's going to fail you, and guess what? You're going to fail her. All right?
But it's working through those issues that make
right.
it closer, hopefully.
Yeah.
Because you have a choice.
Right.
And like you said, you can win the battle and lose the war.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
mm-hmm.
and the key is we're going to be living together a long time. So therefore,
right.
let's try to work this out to where we both win.
Right.
I love win-wins.
Yeah.
But you have to know each other's desires and what their issues are in order to know how to make
yeah.
that a win-win.
Yeah. No pain, no gain, as we talked
I
about.
I agree
and this
with that.
Is, as my wife says, this is school down here. We're all down. This is all a classroom. And if you don't get it one way, guess what? I think God has a sense of humor. And you're going to get it a different way. And you're going to keep getting it. You're going to keep getting it. Right?
Right.
It's going to come back on around. We have this other chart we talk about. It's the pathway. Okay? This pathway. And you can literally unplug. You may think you're Billy Graham. You may think you're closer to God. Well, we have this. We did this the other night. And you can literally unplug from, you know, the guys or the accountability. And you can get stuck in your anger, inappropriate anger. You can get stuck. And your
unforgiveness.
Right.
Unforgiveness.
Right. Yes, that's good.
Yes.
And literally, you can unplug from this, but if we stay on God's plan, you're going to get closer and closer to God. Or when you do have crises and stuff going on in your life, which is all of us, right? You can have a different crisis tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But it's like the more we focus on what God's plan is and spending time and you're memorizing verses, you get sharper from the mere fact just memorizing verses. You get, you know, more discernment, wisdom. You start to see, you start to hug kids differently, your grandkids or kids, whatever you have. You look at them differently if God's in your life.
That's true.
Right.
That's true. So start with yourself. You're saying to start with yourself, get right with God. Have that personal relationship with the Lord.
Right.
And that's the start of everything. People don't understand what that is if they haven't been with that before.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would say right now is for those that don't understand that, look up, reach up. God's there waiting for you. He
right.
won't snatch you, but he's there, and he's sad because you're sad. And he will be so happy when you reach up and just ask him to come into your life, and he'll be there and he'll accept you just as you are. You don't have to change a thing right here, right now. You can just ask him and he'll come right into your heart, inside your mind. He'll be there for you.
Right.
So this is Gary Hoffman, and if you want to know more about him, you can go to www.menontheedge.org. That's all I can get to today. So until next week, God bless you, and understand that just ask for forgiveness and you will be forgiven. Don't keep doing the same things that are not giving you the results that you want. Change your life today. One choice, one thing at a time. God bless you.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy, and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects.
Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.